Hi there, Meg again. Welcome back to the second and the final episode for this painting. Just as a small recap, we are doing The Garden of Earthly Delights by Hieronymus Bosch, and we are moving on to the middle panel now. The centrepiece, which is the Garden of Earthly Delights itself, is quite different from the Garden of Eden depicted to its left. We can start by noticing that both panels share some similarities in things like colour scheme, as both seem bright and full of plenty of greenery. Some of the animals also feature within the two pieces, such as the unicorn, which in the first appeared free and drinking with the other animals, which contrasts its appearance in the middle panel, where it is being ridden by a human, which could represent how people have more control over their purity / choice to sin, as the unicorn is said to mean both of those things. It is important to remember the moment in the Bible when God said, "Be fruitful and multiply." This image to me is the exact visualization of that text. When looking at the people, it is obvious that the panel is full of sin and nudity. Even the fruit is a representation of genitalia and reproduction, and the Dutch euphemism to pick fruit, meaning sex, springs to mind here. Many of the figures within appear to be whispering or talking to each other, which is almost a reflection of its audience, which I can imagine once this piece was unveiled were doing the exact same thing. To me, this makes sense, almost like a true representation of people. I think I could sit for hours coming up with what their actions represented, but overall, I think all of them play some role in the process of reproduction. For example, a large population of women look pregnant, or there is something alluding to them carrying children. This was, of course, God's wish, but it could be argued that this was not his expectation for mankind, as the painting, much like the Garden of Eden, isn't perfect. As mentioned before, there is an owl present in this panel, which seems to be hugged by a man. This is situated in the far left of the body of water, and as we know, owls are linked to being evil. This could suggest how people are treating sex as more in line with the devil than with God. This panel has often been referred to as the false paradise, for taking God's message but going against his intentions. It is wild and almost animalistic how the people and creatures intertwine so naturally. The top part of the middle section has a centrepiece, which appears to be the same or very similar to one in the first panel. It is surrounded by four other structures and connected by water, and it is said to represent the location of Eden. It is, however, different to the one having previously spoken about, as it has a different shape, colour, and the middle one has cracks along its base. This change, and the fact that it is damaged, could be a direct reflection of the sin being performed within the garden. Although sex and sexual acts are suggested within the panel, there seems to be only one directly explicit image, which is situated within the blue structure. The other people are nude and sometimes striking bizarre poses, but there isn't any direct sexual acts that we can see. This is where, in the previous panel, the owl sat. There are some notable figures, like the lady covered in golden hair. The hair covers her body quite unnaturally compared to the others, leaving her face and breasts hairless. These figures are known as wild or beastly. There is also the men surrounding the orange tent. The lack of women and the fact that these men are also turning their bottoms in each other's directions is probably a display of homosexuality. Something which at the time was heavily disapproved of and even punishable by law. It's sad to see this sort of representation within Bosch's work, which continues into a large amount of interracial relationships also taking place within the artwork, as it is meant to show wrongdoing and sin. The painting's homophobic and racist tones are a looking glass into the prejudices of the time, which were seemingly normal. Arguably, the most important image within the centrepiece of the painting is hidden away in the bottom corner and depicts Adam and Eve, aware of the trouble they have caused and awaiting judgment from God. Although this has been debated to not be the two figures at all, much like God in the first panel, Adam seems to be looking directly at us, if having full awareness of what happens, and in doing so, this reveals his blame towards Eve. In this same moment, she's holding a piece of fruit, which I would assume to be the forbidden fruit which had gotten them banished from the Garden of Eden. She also has something in her mouth. When researching this, I found a suggestion that said it may be a communion wafer, which would stop her from speaking and causing more trouble, a representation of her punishment, and the idea that women should remain quiet. They are also the only two figures within the entire painting which seem to be clothed, as if shamed of their once nakedness. It could also be linked to their lack of freedom since being banished from Eden. In the corner opposite is a group of men who appear to be talking amongst themselves and also pointing. Their fingers are directed at the first panel, as if casting judgment on what happened within the Garden of Eden. Throughout the painting, there are transparent contraptions, which lay dotted around. These seem to be the only things that aren't naturally found within the garden, and could be linked to heretics, which meddled with the natural order of God. Some of these glass structures also contain cracks and imperfections. The animals are also quite out of place, especially the fish, which all seem to be out of water and being held by humans. This could be a reminder that everything is out of place and needs to be returned to order. The painting used to be referred to as the strawberry painting, which is probably due to the high quantity of berries found within this panel and what they represent. All of the food which is featured has soft and romantic relations. They all smell very pleasant and have bright, like really bright inviting colours. It also has a sexual connotation thanks to the story of Adam and Eve and the idea that Eve is a promiscuous woman. The fruit here could represent temptation, just like it did for her. There are lots of parts of this panel which demand a viewer's attention, but for me, I was immediately drawn to the centre, where there seems to be a clearing inhabited by a moving circle of animals being ridden by people. In the centre of this ring is a small pool of some sort being enjoyed by a small group of people. Many of these animals were at peace within the Garden of Eden, but now have fallen under the corruption of humans. Circuits like this one have been linked back to fertility rituals, which have been popular amongst many cultures throughout history. The types of animals are apparently symbolic to the deadly sins, which was personified in Lumen anime by Matthias Forinata, which had a large popularity within the Netherlands. Although I can't actually find this book, which may have been lost throughout translation from Dutch to English, because I've located like similar titles by an author with a similar name, just not that specific one. All of the animals in this book are being ridden by people within the circuit. All of this is happening around the pool of women, bathing in the water, which could be linked back to Venus, who is the goddess of love, and the phrase which links back to her, swimming in the baths of Venus, which meant you were in love. And as the women seem to be watching the men, this would make sense. I would assume this would be a positive thing, but apparently this link to Venus is just as sinful as the rest of the activity within the painting, as there is evil connotations due to the disbelief of any other gods, and the idea that believing in them was heavily linked to paganism and heresy. When entering the panel on the right-hand side, we take a drastic turn from the bright and at first welcoming essence of the first two panels. We are now in hell, which unlike the other two, has not been created by God. We can see this as it is a scene full of man-made objects, put there to symbolise how it is now man's fault that they are here. Similar to before, hell is host to many strange objects, but now they are no longer hidden or being distracted by the beauty of Bosch's work. For example, towards the bottom of the panel, there is an array of musical instruments standing in as torture devices. This is a bizarre contrast to me, as music is supposed to be something beautiful and is now being used for the complete opposite. I think these objects are being used to represent the freedom and beauty of the life they lived and how that is now turning on them as they pay the consequences of their sins in hell. Religious music was also seen as the only acceptable music at times throughout history, with ballads needing religious meaning to succeed. Having said this, music that didn't follow those criteria could be seen as sinful, and therefore punishable in hell. I think that is what the musical instrument's significance within this panel is, and they can actually be linked to sex and lust in other medieval art. There are also clothed figures and animals now added in with the naked ones. We can assume these are some sort of evil workers there, like a demon to inflict and watch over the pain happening. Whereas humans are vulnerable, and where their nakedness once stood as a symbol for freedom, it now demotes them to the status of animal, highlighting their shame. This is also supported by the fact that many of them are now covering their bodies or embodying a more closed stance compared to their open arms and bare, unshielded bodies in the Garden of Earthly Delights. I think this painting holds some funny-looking imagery in places, and for me, that definitely can be said about their ears towards the top right of the painting. I can't decide if they're voluntarily holding the knife or it's being like forced through them, but either way could resemble no longer being able to hear God's word. I believe the way the ears on the weapon are placed is purposeful in order to create the image of the male sex organ, and therefore linking it back to sin and lust. The creatures in this piece also look to have more authority than the people, placing the value at the bottom of the list. In the bottom right corner, there's actually a pig masquerading as a nun, and this is amusing for me for multiple reasons. Pigs are usually seen as quite dirty animals with negative connotations. Their only real meaning was to be slaughtered and eaten in the Middle Ages, as they didn't have the same value as oxen or horses, which could provide manual labour. The way the pig has forever been used by the human in a way which could be linked to gluttony provides an explanation to why the pig could now be in the place of authority over the people once in hell. The fact it is wearing a coif, which is the headscarf, could be mockery, but it also could be the pig trying to persuade the person to sign something, as it has a quill in its trotter and there's a paper laid out on the human's leg. This could be a nod towards Bosch's own critique of his religion, as it appears this man is being offered an indulgence, which could be purchased from the church in order to have your sins forgiven and buy your way out of hell. This system collapsed not long after Bosch's death and caused a lot of corruption within the church, as people no longer feared sin if they could pay to have it waived. It is important to keep in mind Bosch's close involvement with the church and his own brotherhood though, which makes me sceptical to believe that this is a critique at all. But that doesn't mean that this pig and the paper aren't trying to trick the man into something more sinister by pretending that the parchment is indeed an indulgence. This sort of trickery is more likely the case, as there would be no being saved from your sins once you're already in hell, and the demons surrounding the landscape would certainly be of no help. The man's eyeline is aimed straight at us, as if asking us for help, but also showing that he is nervous about the interaction going ahead. I don't think the man is falling for the plan, and is in fact desperate for escape from the pig's clutches. Similar to the pig, there are other animals who look as if they are now taking their revenge on how humans treated them before entering hell. For example, there is a hare carrying a man on a pole, much like a rabbit would be presented before cooking on a spit roast. The hare is also accompanied by dogs, which could be seen as ironic, considering the dog's role is to usually chase the hare and catch it, rather than be under its employment. The seven deadly sins actually pop up through all the painting, but especially in the last panel. And as we know from the story of Adam and Eve, many Christians believe that lust was a gateway to committing other atrocious acts against the church. For example, hidden in the shadows of the painting, situated just above the hole on the right, is greed. It is represented through the man excreting coins out of his bottom. Next to him is gluttony, who is throwing up in the same hole. Vanity is the woman being forced to stare at herself and looks very similar to Eve in the first panel. The creature sat above the sins is a bird, sat in a gold chair almost like a throne and looks to be eating a person. I think we can assume that this bird is the Prince of Hell. To support this, he also seems to be supporting like a makeshift crown, which is made out of some sort of cauldron. The people he is consuming seem to be going all the way through him and landing into the same pit in which the people representing the sins are surrounding. There are subtle links to Islam throughout the piece, as if the religion was corrupting society and turning people away from what was to believe to be the one true God by Christians. We can see this behind the aforementioned Prince of Hell, as there is a group of people that seem to be cowering behind his throne. The woman at the head of the group carries a symbol upon her headdress. It is seen again on a flag within the painting. The rise of the Muslim population would have been seen as sinful and against God. The Islamic symbols appear in other pieces of the artist's work and are most prominent in the last panel of this painting, Hell. This is because it was assumed that Muslims, among people belonging to other spiritual and religious groups, would eventually go to hell for believing in what Christians thought was the false god. At the other side of the painting from this, there is a woman which stands out to me, as she is situated in a group of men who seem to be being tortured by the devils. It seems the devils have interrupted a game between these men, as all members of the group appear shocked. The woman appears to be in some sort of barmaid, but I believe the candle in her hand actually insinuates that she's a prostitute. Throughout history, sex workers have let customers know of their profession with candles and let men know that they are open for business. Next to her is a man bent over. His pose is actually very telling and links to a theory called Homo Incurvatus, which means you are turning away from God. And there are examples of this all throughout hell, as well as the Garden of Earthly Delights. Another repeated image is of a hand holding a dice. And what is interesting to me is that this hand is actually sporting the same gesture as the figure believed to be God. We originally spoke about this gesture and the fact it meant that he was speaking or had something important to say, but now it is as if God's power has been taken away and his word is meaningless now they're in hell. This would have been quite a scary idea to Christians, that God is no longer able to offer them guidance or save them. The theme of cards and dice scattered around is an indication of people playing with God's word and altering his meaning to fit their own agenda. This is similar to what we see in the middle panel. One of the strangest pieces of imagery is the man with a broken egg as a torso. His legs seem to be growing out of him like tree trunks, and they're placed in small wooden boats, as if he is ferrying the people inside across the water and could be delivering these people to their doom. This is terrifying to me, because it means that the people who sit in the foreground of the painting are actually just awaiting judgment and that something far worse lies before them. The figure is called the Tree Man, and this isn't the only piece of Bosch's work in which he appears. It is said that the face attached to the creature is a portrait of Bosch himself, and could be there as a warning to those who live in vanity. Choosing to put his own face on the image would have been a brilliant link back to the artist, but also a very interesting one. His eggshell bottom is broken and inhabited by people drinking. It is believed that pubs are a place of sin, and alcohol makes people make bad decisions when overconsumed, so its place in hell does make sense and doesn't surprise me. If my theory about the ferry is correct, this would also make sense, because it would trick them into climbing onto the ferry in order for their souls to depart. The water in which the figure resides seems to be frozen, and as I said before, believed to be a passing point for the souls of the dead. The individuals in or around the water appear to be trying to make their escape back to the other side, and are being observed by creatures ready to stop their attempts at fleeing. This can be seen by the bird on the shore waiting with a crossbow. The panel's backdrop is one of misery. It is covered in flames and darkness, similar to the great fire that attacked the Netherlands within Bosch's lifetime. This was a major incident which saw the reshaping of the city and is actually represented within the flag of Amsterdam, represented by one of the white crosses. I honestly think I could sit for hours and discuss the meanings behind every little aspect of this painting, as I do believe Bosch placed every detail on its own to have purpose. I really encourage you to continue to think about what Bosch could have meant with each aspect of his artwork, and think about the details that I missed or just didn't touch upon. I think leaving the Garden of Earthly Delights, it is important to summarise its intentions and see if we have formed the same opinions. For me, its most common themes are sin, judgment and punishment, and despite it having quite a bright and beautiful majority, it is in fact a dark piece of art with some horrible imagery. It shows the believed consequence of going against God and was meant to inflict fear on its medieval audience. The image is religious propaganda created by a man with heavy involvement within the church. I thank you for taking some time to join me today to talk about the Garden of Earthly Delights by Hieronymus Bosch.